Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Datamatics Global Services Limited Q4 FY22 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Asha Gupta from EY Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Faizan. Good afternoon to all participants in the call today. Welcome to the Q4 and full year FY22 earnings call of Datamatics Global Services Limited. The results and presentation has been already mailed to you and it is also available on the website www.datamatics.com. In case anyone has not received the copy of press release and presentation, please do write to us and we will be happy to send you all. To take you through the results and to answer your questions, we have with us the top management of the company, represented by Mr. Rahul Kanodia, Vice Chairman and CEO, Mr. Sandeep Mantri, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Mitul Mehta, Senior VP and Head Marketing and Communications. Mr. Rahul will start the call with brief overview of the quarter and full year on the business, which will then be followed by the financials given by Mr. Sandeep. We will then open the floor for Q&A session. As usual, I would like to remind you that anything that is said on this call, which gives any outlook for the future or which can be construed as forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with the risk and uncertainties that we face. This risk and uncertainties are included but not limited to what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with SEBI and subsequent annual report, which you can find it on our website. With that said, I now hand over the call to Mr. Rahul. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Asha, and welcome and thank you all for joining our quarter four and financial year 2022 earnings call. I'm happy with the overall performance of the business during the year. The growth was broad-based across the IT as well as BPM segments. We ended the year with a strong EBITDA growth of 57.5%, excluding Signex. Despite the supply side challenges and increased hiring costs, we could improve our financial year 22 EBITDA margins to 16.1%. Our PAT stood at 157.5 crores and increased 120% on a year-on-year basis, excluding Signex. We have strengthened our U.S. sales team, which has resulted in a strong deal pipeline. As a result, we will continue with the growth momentum in financial year 23. In Q1, our margins may drop due to the annual increase in salaries or increments. However, it should be stable during the year. We added 104 new customers during the year and 14 in quarter four. In line with the account growth, we continue to showcase our capabilities to our existing customers, resulting in several deal wins. The deal momentum continues to remain strong for us. In quarter four, we signed new businesses worth 14.5 million. In FY22, we signed new businesses worth 126 million through the course of the year, out of which three large deals were over 15 million to be executed over 3 to 5 years. Plus several other deals totaling to about 56 million to be executed over the next 1 to 2 years. I am glad to share with you all that phase 1 of Mumbai Metro Line 2A and 7 has become operational, for which we have implemented the automatic fare collection system. In FY22, we further cemented our position as a preferred AFC technology provider by winning contracts for the Delhi Meerut corridor by NCRTC and the Kolkata Metro by Rail Vikas Nigam Limited. Our annualized attrition rate was at 30%. We have ramped up a hiring process and continued to invest in training and upskilling our employees. We added 329 employees during the year, taking the total headcount to 10,744. To fulfill demand and maintain margins, we have undertaken several initiatives, including stepping up fresher recruitment through Campus Connects, moving our work to lower cost destinations, enhancing productivity, and negotiating price hikes with customers. Coming to the quarter performance, we reported a revenue growth of 4.2% on a sequential basis and 10.6% on a year-on-year basis, and we maintained an EBITDA margin of 16.4%. Our IT revenues, which contribute 42% of our revenues, grew at 10.4% on a year-on-year basis, and the IT EBITDA margin stood at 6.3% for the quarter. However, without considering the investments in products, the EBITDA margin stood at 10.9%. We are seeing significant traction in our BPM business, which contributed 58% of our quarter four revenues, and it grew at 10.7% on a year-on-year basis. The BPM EBITDA margin stood at 23.7%. The growth was aided by new logo acquisitions, expansion of business from existing customers, and continued effort on cost optimization. On the product business, we have signed some marquee logos in the US and India. As we have entered financial year 23, we have an excellent deal pipeline which gives us the confidence that we are on the right track. In conclusion, going forward, we are optimistic about the overall demand environment and are confident of maintaining growth at 15 to 20% in the coming year. With that, I will now hand over our call to our CFO, Mr. Sandeep Mantri. Sandeep, over to you.
Thank you, Rahul. Welcome everyone, and thank you for joining us in quarter four and full year earning call. I hope that all of you are safe and healthy. Let me start with the key financials for FY22, and then I will run you through the quarterly numbers for the quarter ended on March 31, 2022. So our revenue for the year was at ₹1201 crores, which is a growth of 17.4% over previous year. This is, of course, without considering Signex revenue in FY2021. As you all are aware, that we divested Signex effective 1st of January 2021. Our consolidated EBITDA stood at ₹193.3 crores, which is a growth of 57.5% on a yearly basis. And consolidated EBITDA margin was at 16.1% compared to 12% in the previous year. When we come to segment, our BPM revenue for the year stood at 676 crores compared to 561 crores. So it is a growth of about 20.3%. And then margin stood at 22.8% as compared to 18.1% in FY 2021. Our IT revenue stood at 525.5 crores compared to 461 crores in last year, which is a growth of about 14% in the IT business. Our IT margin was at 7.5% as compared to 6.9% last year. The margin improvement in both the segments was a factor of many initiatives like cost optimization, strong revenues, price increase, etc. Our other income is on a consolidated basis stood at 26.3 crores in FY22 as against ₹10.7 crore in previous year. This increase is primarily due to increase in return on investment and exchange rate effect. The tax rate for FY22 was at 19.1% as against 23.2% in FY21. Our PAT after non-controlling interest was at 157.5 crores, which has grown by 97.5% on a reported basis, and if we ignore Signex, then this grew by 120%, which is 2.2 times growth over previous year. So therefore, our diluted EPS stood at ₹26.71 in this year as compared to 13.53 in FY21, which also shows a growth of 97.5%. When we come to balance sheet, our balance sheet continues to remain at a very healthy position. As on March 31, 2022, our total liquid and cash in net of debt stood at ₹378 crores as compared to 255 crore last year. Even our FCF to PAT ratio was at 100.6% as compared to 119.6% last year. Our DSO was at 74 days as of March 22 as compared to 65 days in last year. The slight increase in DSO was mainly due to last month billing in our tax customers and in our project customers. So that has resulted into slight increase in DSO. Our return on equity improved from 11.2% in FY21 to 14.3% in FY22. So you can see the healthy parameters in all balance sheet items. Coming to our quarter four performance, our quarter four revenue stood at 313.3 crores, up by 4.2% on a sequential basis and 10.6% on a YOY basis. Our BPM revenue for the quarter was at 182.3 crores, which is up by 10.6% on a sequential basis and 10.7% on YOY basis. BPM EBITDA margin was at 23.7% for the quarter, which is 163 basis point up on a YOY basis. When we see IT services revenue for the quarter, it was at 131 crores, which is a drop of 3.7% on a sequential basis and a growth of 10.4% on YOY basis. IT EBITDA margin was at 6.3% for the quarter, but if we don't consider investment in product, our margin was at 10.9% for the quarter. Our quarterly consolidated EBITDA grew by 23% on a YOY basis and margin was at 16.4%. Despite of increase in hiring cost, we were able to maintain our EBITDA margin, mainly due to our constant effort on cost optimization, strong revenues and price increase. We aspire to maintain this double-digit healthy margin in coming quarters as well. Our quarterly PAT after NCI was at 45.6 crore, which is a growth of 23.4% on a quarterly basis and the growth of 59.2% on a YOY basis. Our EPS for the quarter was at 7.73 per share, which is higher than last year same period, which was at 4.86 per share. Our tax rate for the quarter was low at 12.7%. In terms of geographical footprint, U.S. is the largest geography with 60% of our business coming from U.S. India is 25%. Rest of world, including U.K. and Europe, is 15%. In terms of industry footprint, BFSI continue to remain largest segment for us, which is 27% of our revenue, followed by education and publishing, which is 24%, then technology and consulting, which is at 20%, manufacturing, infra and logistics at 11%, retail at 6%, non-profit or non-government organization at 5% of our business, rest all are 7% of our total revenue. So that is a segment industry-wise breakup of our revenue. Our client concentration remains very healthy, with top 5, 10 and 20 clients contributing to 22%, 35% and 47% respectively. We added 104 new clients in the year. Our total headcount for the year was, at the end of the year was 10,744. With this, these are the financial numbers and operational numbers for the year and for the quarter. And with this, I will now pass on the call to operator to open the floor for Q&A. And thank you very much for your patience and I appreciate your continued interest in Datamatics. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of NG and Puranik from Enam Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, Rahul. Congratulations to you and your team for wonderful turnaround, and you have demonstrated that you can grow revenue, profits, both quantitatively and qualitatively. I have a few questions on how you take this journey forward. Couple of things. One is your BPM business has done extraordinary. It's a core DNA business, while IT services portfolio is a good long way to go. I want to understand what you need to improve in this from a quality perspective. Is it that you need to improve the quality of the offerings that you have? Because the margin is a function of the quality of service you render and where you render. The on-site offshore mix matters a lot in this business. Plus, the quality of solution you have. Because if you look at the BPM business you run, it's run very efficiently. I just want to understand how do you leverage BPM competence to make IT services business look better than that? Is there a competency cross-sell from BPM to IT services to anchor deeds, you know, from BPM?
Sure.
So if you can address this, because it's a long sustainable trend, because at the end of the day, if you can anchor a few large customers with high quality solution, they stay with you for long, you know.
Yes.
So that's what you have done, what you have done in BPM. If you can, because there are a lot of cost optimization effort you have in BPM. Similarly, you have done all of this, but qualitatively, that needs a lot more improvement.
Yeah. So to answer your question, the offerings of the basket of offerings we have in IT are widespread, and we do need to do two things to improve the quality. One is, of course, change the offerings and sell more of the higher value add things and less of the lower value add. So that shift we are beginning to do. It does not happen overnight, but we are beginning to do more and more of those things which are, you know, in cloud and Salesforce and those sides which are a little better margins compared to the traditional IT services. Point number one. Point number two is we need to sell more of what we call dedicated facilities and you know, extended centers. So we have started putting a lot more effort and building a pipeline in that space. And we're beginning to see the pipeline. I think they should materialize soon. Having said that, of course, right now we're going through a huge challenge in ramping up resources. The whole industry is going through that challenge. But nevertheless, we will face those challenges as we go through it. And the third thing we need to do is sell more in the U.S. market. Our IT has a very large footprint in India. And India, of course, is a much lower margin territory. And therefore, we need to pivot more to the international markets, specifically the U.S., which is what we have also done in the last 1 year. We have augmented the sales team in the U.S. quite substantially, and we are not augmenting our team in India. And therefore, we should start seeing a shift in more U.S.-based revenue and also more ODC kind of projects. So I think over the next year or two, as we make these changes, we will see better IT margins.
Hmm. But how do you build an ODC deal construct, long-term relationship with a company? How will you build that? Because it is a function of, if you want to do the cloud, you need a lot of partnerships in the cloud. So we have
a partner ecosystem. A lot of the customers that we are talking to are now talking that language. See, either you approach them for a very specific project, or you approach them with a long-term ODC kind of a model. And that's what we have been doing in the U.S. So when we participate in events and we participate in other programs, it is focused around these EDCs/ODCs. Versus a very project-centric thing. And also it's got to do with account growth. You know, as we land and expand, as we open new logos, then our whole approach is to go through an ODC mode. And to that extent, we are augmenting the what we call the pre-sales activity in the U.S. as well. So those are the people who've delivered on ODCs and put them in front of the customer. It gives them higher confidence. So yes, all these things have been put into motion already.
And the high-value offering includes what?
So, for example, when you do Salesforce, you do cloud, you do analytics, so some of that type of stuff, you're getting better deals, DevOps. So all these areas are better margins, much better margins, actually, and higher revenue, higher margins, and, of course, better value to the customer.
Do you have enough experience and skill set in this?
Sorry, say that again?
In this high-value offering,
yes.
For example, you talked about Salesforce Cloud Analytics.
Yes.
You have enough skill set and experience in this?
Yes.
Can you leverage your BPM capability in selling IT services?
Once you have a relationship with the customer, then we go into the customer. Although BPM does not lend itself to, you know, analytics. Have the relationships with which we will leverage and cross-sell all these things.
Hmm. And your largest IT services client is what revenue?
Largest IT services should be in the range of about 8 to 10 odd million.
8 to 10 million. And you do what kind of services for them?
These are all ODCs, which is multiple things, right from digital transformation to legacy application support, migration, a basket of things, yes.
And how well you can grow this account? One way is to put more sales resources on this account and more solution capability.
Yeah, so actually we have to look at account by account because one account at some point will saturate. So it's not that an account will continue to grow. We just have to open more accounts. And we, as I mentioned earlier, have a very healthy pipeline of such opportunities. So it's more about opening new doors and expanding in them rather than an existing account that's already mature.
Yeah, more deep pockets.
Yeah.
Interesting. Then I
have Puranik, sir.
And the other thing is about the IP portfolio. You haven't talked about the how IP portfolio is shaping, how the team is getting built, and how you're doing the pre-marketing of IP portfolio.
Correct.
Some idea on that will be useful.
Correct. So we signed a few marquee logos in the US with our products. We've established a much stronger sales team. We're augmenting it with a pre-sales team as we speak. And we have started participating now that the US market is opening up. We've started participating in many more events. So we've already participated in 4 events in the last 2 months, and we will be participating in many more. So the pipeline is right now looking very healthy, but of course we need to strengthen the pipeline more and close a few deals.
But what
is analysts are concerned, we continue to get good coverage with the analysts.
But what will help you strike a good deals in this space? Because see, what happens is you have a product and the product is gets demonstrated when it's used. You need to create user base, expand user base.
Yeah.
And the referenceability gets built around that.
So I think we will see an inflection point once we hit a certain critical mass and scale. Our focus is right now just go aggressive and have logo acquisition. Margins are of course healthy, but we will pay less emphasis on margins, more emphasis on closing new deals. I think once we get a critical mass, we should see that delivering results.
You have the right set of team who can connect with the customer?
Yes.
And they are from similar field selling IP solutions?
That is correct. IP solutions are specifically the IP, you know, IP.
IP, yeah. IP and IP, IP solutions. So yeah. they are convergent in that market.
Yeah. They are locally hired from the US in the US and they come from the IP product space. So they understand the whole ecosystem very well.
But as the test cases deployed, demonstrated to the customers?
Yes. Yeah, we have a few cases that have gone live, and as I said, some marquee logos we've been able to bag.
But you had enough of referenceability here in India itself, isn't it? A lot of Indian banks here have done a lot of work.
We had a lot of customers in India. Unfortunately, the US guys want more US references and US logos. That's the hurdle, which I'm sure we'll overcome very soon because we signed up a few good deals.
So you hire the right guy. That's most important. If you have the right guy,
absolutely.
The product is good. It's demonstrated in this environment.
Yeah, we have opportunities in India also. So it's not that we have to. Yeah. So India is also going well. But a little more emphasis on the US market.
What's the annual spend on this?
Say that again?
How much do you spend? What is the sales dollar you spent on this IP portfolio?
Good question. So we've got a total sales team which is sitting in India selling overseas as well as based in the US market in Middle East and Europe. So we have a total team of about 20 odd people selling
IP. I'm talking about the IP.
The IP only, correct.
So that costs about a couple of $1 million?
Yeah, very easily. Yeah, but now that, you know, the markets have opened up, we will sort of increase that spend and try to go more aggressive in the market.
Good. Thanks, Rahul. All the best to you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Brian.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Awatramani from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. Just wanted to confirm that you have given this growth guidance of 15% to 20% in the coming year. This is for revenue, right?
That's correct.
And can you highlight something on EBITDA or EBIT margins, if you can give us something on that?
I think we will maintain the EBIT margins. The reason being that, of course, on the one hand, we have cost pressures with the cost and attrition and things like that are going up in the industry. On the other hand, we will increase our spend on marketing and sales. So those will be two large areas of cost increase. On the other hand, as Sandeep and I mentioned earlier in our talk, we are looking at moving work to lower cost destinations, higher productivity, better pricing with customers. So they offset each other. So we do expect to, by and large, maintain our EBIT margins.
Okay, sir, this is very clear. And can you highlight something on the attrition rate? I mean, if you might have highlighted, I might have missed on that, but if you can highlight something on attrition for year and quarter.
Our attrition was 30%. Last quarter it was 29. Right now we are running at 30, which is by and large in line with the industry at large.
So any measures taken to, I mean, cut down on this attrition? I mean, how are we moving ahead with this? Because overall, as you said, the industry is facing the seat, right, for the talent crunch.
Yeah, so
measures are taking up?
Multiple things, right? So we are recruiting many more people at little junior level, freshers and even otherwise. We're doing a lot of cross-training and skill upgradation, upselling skills. We have also, you probably may know, we have had a retention. We have a retention program with the senior staff. Where, you know, sometimes when you have critical key people, we are able to retain them by paying them a better salary or a bonus. However, there is some attrition and we can't run away from the reality. So apart from, you know, retaining key talent, which is of course critical for the organization, the focus is on recruitment and how do we ramp up. Also, we have a program where people are able to work from home or work remotely on a long-term basis. So that allows us to onboard people who are not physically in the cities where we are based. Of course, for 2 years, that was a norm. But now, since many people have started coming back to office, we have continued to allow people to work from home, and that allows us a talent pool that otherwise we may not have had.
Oh. Okay, sir, this is very much clear now. And any CAPEX plans, any future acquisitions we are looking into? I see that in FY21, we have divested this Cygnus Dynamics, right? Datamatics.
Correct.
So these were some operational, I mean, these were measures for operational efficiencies. But are we looking out for some acquisitions? As you said that we are looking for cloud and other Salesforce.
We are in dialogue with some companies for an acquisition point of view. Of course, it's a little premature to talk about them, and obviously it'll be presented to the board at the right point in time. But yes, we are in dialogue with some companies for an acquisition.
A couple of companies, yeah.
Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you so much, sir, and good luck.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, sir, for the... So, sir, just one query on the
Mr.
revenue.
Mr. Poddar, sorry to interrupt you. Please increase the volume of your device.
Now it's better?
Yes.
Okay. Sir, just one query I have. So what's the revenue growth you're looking next year?
15 to 20%. This year we did about 1,200 crores. So we're looking at a 15 to 20% on that.
Oh. Yeah, that's about it. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Shubhankar Roja from SKS Capital and Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations.
Thank you.
So a couple of questions, actually. So your dividend payout ratio has improved over the years. So you have anything in your mind in terms of the kind of payout ratio you would like to maintain, the minimum payout ratio that you would like to maintain going forward? That's one. And secondly, what is your guidance for this tax rate, effective tax rate for 23?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So on Shubhankar, on dividend payout, so dividend payout, we have a policy also in place for dividend payout. And basically, it will depend upon deployment of capital for other uses as well. And we will see whether we can deploy money in growing the business more than, you know, declaring dividend, paying dividend, because that will be one time. But while if we continue growing the business through acquisition, through other, you know, spending on products or spending more on product marketing, and if we are able to grow the business, that will give more return to stakeholders, shareholders. So therefore, mostly we will maintain, as a policy, we will maintain some sort of dividend, but our first priority will be to grow businesses and to spend more on, you know, these product or IP-led businesses. Coming back to your second question, what was your second question, Shubhankar?
On the effective tax rate.
So tax rate, last year we said our tax rate will be between 22% to 25%. While we managed to have a lower tax rate, which is about 19% for the year. In the coming year, which is FY22-23, I think we will maintain a tax rate of between 20% to 23%. It will all depends upon the geographical profit contribution from various businesses we have. This year we had very good U.S. profits, and therefore, because we don't have deferred tax in U.S. geography, and therefore, whatever we have profits in U.S. geography, will get consummated through the carried forward losses, and therefore there is no tax per se in U.S. geography, and that has resulted into lower tax rate. And I think between 20% to 23% next year we should be able to manage on tax rate.
And finally, since you have touched upon this point, your IP and the product business, how do you see this in terms of revenue from this business over the next 3 to 5 years?
We are very hopeful and positive on that. As I said earlier, that we started participating in several events. We've signed a few marquee logos. We're getting a very healthy pipeline right now. So as far as the product and IP business concerned, we are very bullish about it. This year will be very important as we will increase our spend on both sales and marketing. And as we see those results, I think we'll be in good shape.
All right. Thank you so much, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Avatramani from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the follow-up question. Next question was, what is the headcount you're planning to hire in this FY23?
Approximately about 400 odd people, roughly. Depending on the business, though, depending on the growth in business, depending on the projects, it might move up or down a little bit, approximately 400.
Okay. And any major capex plans in FY23? You said the acquisition side, but on the... additional capex?
No major capex. There's some degree of capex in overhauling some of the equipment that we have, because for COVID years, 2 years, we did not, you know, upgrade a lot of our machines. So, but that is more of a business as usual kind of a thing. No major capex.
Okay. So one thing you also mentioned, that on the employee side, that you're moving to some low cost cities. So that will be in India itself, or you're looking at overseas as well?
Both. So we have increased our headcount in Pondicherry. We have now a much larger operation in Pondicherry and in Nasik, and of course in Philippines as well, compared to the US or Europe. But within India, it'll be largely India and more to these cities like Nasik and Pondicherry compared to Mumbai and Bangalore.
Okay. That's all from my end. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ananya Agarwal, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Good evening. I wanted to know that in the press release, we see a few deal wins that you've given. So can you please elaborate more on that? Can you share the deal size and the geography?
So some of the deals that we won, we talked about the metro projects. One was, of course, Kolkata Metro. One was NCRTC in Delhi Meerut. So that's one. What is the deal size? Do you have the figures? 15 million plus, but they will be executed over about 3 years, yeah, 4 years. So that's those are the ones. And so here, as you see, we've listed the sub couple of larger deals. We're not given names, so we are not at liberty to discuss the deal sizes for each. But they range between $1 to $2 million. And they would be executed over 1 to 2 years.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Chetan B, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So my question is for Rahul. So how confident are you about the 15 to 20% growth which you mentioned in your speech, and how are you planning to achieve it?
No, as I said, we had augmented our sales team in the U.S. Last year. We have a very healthy pipeline as we enter this new year, and therefore that gives us good confidence in achieving those numbers. Based on the pipeline that we have in hand.
And we closed good amount of business in FY21-22, which is 126 million. Even if we take one-third or one-fourth of that, that will, you know, actually compensate me for some part of the growth.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is a follow-up question from the line of Ananya Agarwal, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Ananya, how are you?
Yes, thank you for the follow-up question. I wanted to ask, how do you see the demand environment? And do you see any impact on our business due to ongoing geopolitical or macroeconomic issues?
No, the demand environment remains robust. I don't see any issue from a geopolitical point of view. Also, we don't see any issue. In fact, because of the Ukraine-Russia war, we have actually gained because some customers who are working with those geographies wanted to shift and work with India. So actually, we had an advantage. It's an unfortunate situation to get an advantage because those poor people are really suffering. But nevertheless, so we don't see any major problems. European markets remain as vibrant, and so do the American markets. So the demand and demand is good.
Okay, thank you. Another question, any pricing pressures you are seeing from the clients?
No major pricing pressure. In fact, we've been able to bump up our pricing and reprice our services because the whole industry is facing this current turmoil or crisis or crunch, whatever you want to call it, this mass resignations that you see. So all our customers are facing the same situation. So we have been able to go back to several of them and renegotiate better prices. So right now we're not seeing a price crunch. In fact, we are probably seeing a cost escalation. So the issue is the other way around. So margins will be under pressure because of cost escalation, not because of price pressures from customers.
Okay. And the Fed has raised the interest rates. So
yes.
Any impact on the BFSI segment?
No. We don't see any impact on our business.
All right.
Yeah,
by and large, we don't get impacted by the Fed's policies on increasing interest rates or anything of that kind.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for being on this call and spending this time with us this evening. We really appreciate your questions and your interest in Datamatics. Once again, thank you very much, and I look forward to meeting you next quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Datamatics Global Services Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.